cure for the midweek blues? Laughter is the best medicine. Join us in Overtime every Wednesday at 8 p.m. for Comedy Night. Enjoy the humor of different comedians every Wednesday. And the weekend is heating up in Overtime. With karaoke every Thursday and DBJs performing every Friday and Saturday night. So grab your friends, your dancing shoes, and enjoy signature cocktails with no cover charge. See WinRiver.com for the weekly lineup. Must be 21 to attend. Find your moment at the river.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Hornet's Nest. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning, Nick. How the heck are you?
I'm as good as I can be with a little bit I got left to work with. It's dwindling daily. I'm 11 weeks clean and sober. I haven't had a piece of candy in 11 weeks.
Well, your hands are trembling, but that's good. I think you're going to make it. I think you're going to get through this one, Nick.
I did cheat a little bit. I got two pieces.
Oh, here we go. The real Nick comes out.
Two pieces of pecan white fudge that was over at Gif's Barbecue or Gif's Hamburgers. That was homemade, and oh, my God, it was good.
Well,
it was all I could do to walk away from that box.
We're human. We're not of pure mind or stomach, Nick, so there you go. So, hey, Nick, good morning, everybody. Poke the Hornet's Nest. Nick Gardner, your host, and I'm the co-host, Doug Janke, and we're going to try to entertain you for an hour and give you education you didn't know you had. Or didn't have, or might not know, or whatever. But I do want to start off, Nick, that I was really offended when you called Christina a lady. You should have called her an it, they, or them. That would have been more appropriate in today's woke world.
You don't want to know what I want to call you sometimes. Hey, listen, let's start off. You know, I got some information about SCOE. And, you know, as poor as our education has been lately for the kids, you know, so many are graduating that just don't have a clue. I wonder where our educational dollar is going to. And SCOE, Shasta County Office of Education, owns a bunch of property. Now, do we give them money to educate our kids to go into the real estate business?
Well, I would imagine they have to own the sites where the schools are. I'm not sure too many people are going to let schools be built on their private property, so I don't know, other than the schools, what other property do they own, Nick?
Well, you know, I started off about 10 years ago with Shasta Secondary School. I was working for them, and they owned the building at the corner of Market and Gold Street, which is, I think it's Gold Country Mental Health Wellness Center now.
Yeah.
They were there, and I found out that they owned the building. Well, they moved on down to where Movies 8 was, down by Park Marina, but they rented that building out to them. And I'm thinking, you know, why are you guys owning buildings and renting them out and moving on to another one? So it was brought to my attention that SCOE owns a big building up off of Caterpillar. It used to be the Granger Building.
Okay.
It's a big building. And I was told that it's divided up into small offices. And then they own a building on Hilltop, pretty close to Bartels up there where they have that new retirement home.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Okay, they own a big building up there. And then, where else do they own? Hilltop, Caterpillar. Oh, they just bought the Reading Bank of Commerce building.
Well, sure, they got a lot of money. This is sounding interesting. I should be their real estate agent.
Yeah, well, you know, why are they buying one of the nicest brick buildings in Reading?
Because they have our money, yours and mine. And everybody listening.
And they bought the old Builders Exchange building out there off of Old Oregon Trail.
Yep, yep, yep.
Now, those were nice buildings. And on top of that, they own the lot next door that's vacant. There's no plans to build anything on there. I can only assume that it's to speculate and maybe sell it and make some money in the future. And this, I'm wondering, is this where our educational dollar is meant to go?
Well, you got to put the administrators, the overpaid administrators, into nice buildings. I mean, they can't go to work in a shack.
I've been in that building out there at the Builders Exchange, and it was really nice. And I'm told they divided those offices up into two, into smaller offices. It looks to me like they're getting ready for a whole bunch more administration.
Well, you know, that's the ultimate goal of any teacher who starts out of college, is they want to get to admin, because when you get to admin, it's six figures, a great retirement, and you don't have to really work very hard, and you get to dictate communist policy to the school children. That's the goal. So why not have a good office to do it in?
Well, I agree with you, and I think the people should be aware of this and maybe investigate it, and maybe there ought to be some screaming and hollering. If this is going all over California, that's where our $20,000 plus a year to educate our kids is going to.
Well, you know, one of the things that I'm thinking of as a real estate agent is, it is my understanding that city, state governments, and maybe counties, they don't have to pay property tax, because it's basically taking tax money to pay taxes to tax back there. So it'd be interesting to find out if these things are actually being taxed, because if they're not, those buildings are all out of circulation for property tax revenue.
Sure.
So that's an interesting little angle right there, because all those buildings you mentioned are worth millions of dollars.
Many millions.
That's what I'm saying.
And on top of that, these people that are making these six-figure incomes.
Which is a lot, for the record. It's a lot.
Especially for Reading.
Yeah.
They're recycling tax money. They're not producing taxes. They're recycling it.
Yes. Well, and government doesn't produce anything, so that's all they can do is use, spend, and recycle. So there you go. Interesting start there, Nick. I didn't know that.
Well, good. I hope people will investigate that.
I'll try to find out between now and in 2 weeks if, in fact, the county pays property tax like the rest of us schmucks on their properties. Now, I get the point. It's government. Why would the government pay taxes to give it right back to the government? I get the argument. But if you think that those buildings could be in private hands and be paying, you know, millions of dollars in property tax, maybe there's something we should consider.
Absolutely.
And why don't they lease it from a private property, and that way there's somebody actually making money in the economy?
You know, before we get too much further, I want to encourage everybody to go to the archives at KCNR1460.com and listen to the show 1 week ago. You can go to my site or Kevin Cry's site, to Poke the Hornet's Nest site, and listen to last week's show. For some reason, they have both shows on both sites.
Huh.
Kevin had a wonderful show last week. I mean, it was really informative, and people need to listen to that. But I remember 2 weeks ago, he wanted us to define what justice was.
Yes.
Well, I come up with the idea, let's talk about injustice. What is an injustice? Can we think of any injustices?
Yes. I would say the modern criminal and civil law system is unjust. Things that, you know, they, if you go walking, or if you go and get a speeding ticket, you get stuck with a $400 fine. Somebody who robs $750 doesn't even go to jail. I think that's unjust.
I'd have to agree with that assessment. I was going to go towards retirement. CalPERS and CalSTRS.
Oh.
Here's our government employees working for us, and they've got 10 times the retirement as the private entrepreneur, the private worker that produces something, that pays the taxes, that pays their wages.
And they don't even have to work that long. I mean, for anybody listening, if you're a cop or you're a firefighter, I do not want to do your job. I don't want to show up to the scenes you show up on. I appreciate what you do, and you guys do some hard work for 30 years. Everybody else, the public employees, the teachers, they get to retire after 30 years. So if somebody gets into the system at 22, they're retired with full pension and benefits and health care in their low 50s. You and I can't do that. Most people listening can't do that unless they've done some amazing investing or something. But government employees get to retire before they're 60 with their full pension.
And it doesn't matter how CalPERS or CalSTRS, how their investments do. If there's a loss, we have to make it up.
Yes.
And, you know, us in the private sector, we've got Social Security.
Yeah.
And then we can start our own 401K or SEP IRA or Roth IRA. I firmly believe that they should be in the same system we're in.
Oh, absolutely. The problem, you know, thing,
and that's injustice. That's not just. That's not right, and it's not fair.
Well, and you know, one of the things that was a dirty little secret about the folks in CalPERS is that a large percentage of their funds were invested in Chinese companies. Yes, the same China who hates us and is trying to overthrow us and kill us with fentanyl. They had a huge, and I want to say hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars, in Chinese companies. They didn't even invest in American companies. That's the CalPERS. That's your system right there.
That's
you guys should be demanding, if nothing else, invest in American companies. Why would you invest in Chinese companies? Why? They hate us. They're trying to kill us. They're trying to start a war. They're killing us with fentanyl. And yet your retirement is based on the fact, how well is the Chinese doing?
I'll bet if you looked real hard that they're invested quite a bit in electric cars and
another great scam. Don't even get me going on that one today.
One scam right after another for these people. They don't contribute anything. In fact, they're dragging us down.
Yes. Well, I mean, you know, to be honest with you, Nick, I'll disagree with you. And you probably are a bad example compared to me, but the public education system does have the ability to make America great again. There you go. I'm going to make you liberals your hair set on fire. The public education system can make America great again if they just taught the three R's, reading, arithmetic, and writing. If they actually did what you and I did back in the day. We got to learn real history, not their history. You know, believe me, I was homeless twice, and my last name rhymes with junkie, so believe me, I got a lot of bullying, but it taught me to be strong. But the reality is, I think the school system, oddly enough, of the public domain, they have the ability to impact the future positively, and they rather choose to destroy it.
You know who impacts the future of children positively is Kevin Cry.
Yes.
And I was wishing I had a clip, and we couldn't get to it, of a camp that he just had out at Gateway with a professional football player. And I forget the guy's name. I was so counting on that clip being played. He's got California Adventure Camp. Go to that .com. Go to that California Adventure Camp and see what this man does for kids.
Well, from what I saw in the video that you shared with me and looking at it, it was like, I don't know, a 2 or 3 minute video. Pretty darn impressive. And, you know, it's funny as people kind of bitch about the fact Kevin and he's taking government money. You know what? He's actually taking the government money and reinvesting it back into the kids. He's giving them something. He's giving them sense of being, sense of accomplishment.
Self-confidence. Building
self-confidence. Strength. Physical strength. I mean, they have to be active. This isn't something that they the money just goes and vaporizes into thin air. He's actually reinvesting it back into kids. That's impressive.
He's got these professional athletes coming here putting on camps for the kids. I know Ruthie Bolton was down in Cottonwood Elementary School during Thanksgiving break.
Yeah.
And she's a double-time gold medalist and I think a champion on the Women's Basketball League.
Oh, wow.
And
she was allowed to speak at a conservative guy's sponsored thing. That's weird. They probably didn't know she was coming up for Kevin, is my thought.
Well, she wasn't speaking. She was putting on a
That's my point.
Contest.
I'm just making a joke at that one. But, I mean, just funny because the American Olympic teams have become very very liberal woke. So I wouldn't – if she knew it was going to be for a guy who does conservative causes, I would imagine she wouldn't have come.
But getting back to the CalPERS and the CalSTRS, I had Charlie Manure walk by me. I was down at the library Wednesday night when the recall people had another recall meeting. And he walked by, and did you get some of that severance money, Nick? You get some of that severance money? Like you really came up with something sharp there. And I thought to myself, yeah, you're getting a lot of that CalPERS money for doing a piss-poor job, aren't you?
Yeah.
You know, he was superintendent of schools for over 20 years.
Yep.
We started out in the top 10, and when he got done, we're in the bottom 10, as are most of those people, a good percentage of those people on the recall committee, a bunch of retired teachers.
Well, that's kind of weird.
California employees.
That's weird. Gosh darn it, that's weird, Nick. I don't know how they all came together by happenstance. That's bizarre.
Jeff Gordert said they wanted the low-hanging fruit. He found it, didn't he?
Well, he found an entire group of them is what he found. And, you know, you sent me that email that was written. I don't know who it was written by, but it goes on forever. And like I said on Carl's show on Thursday, you know, pretty much accused Kevin of being everything, including the second shooter on the grassy knoll at the JFK assassination. And it was all wrong. It was all false. It was just lies.
Oh, yeah, that was Donnie Chamberlain.
Oh, okay. I know that says a lot right there.
Boy, she can twist words.
Oh, man, well, she's a wordsmith.
But anyway, let's get back to Carl's show. I've got a clip that I want to play from Carl's show, and let's discuss it. Are we ready? We're ready.
Focus our attention towards. Are there places in Reading you don't want to walk at night? I mean, and I'm serious about this, is because you see so many places you don't even want to walk in these big cities during the daytime, much less at night. And it's always struck me as Reading is much safer than that.
I can't say that there's anywhere particular that I wouldn't walk at night.
But you and I and Sergeant LeBay, we'd walk at a lot of places. Maybe other people don't walk, but
I would advise to use general caution and just general human safety and try
just
to
be
aware of your surroundings and try not to put yourself into a position that you could be unsafe or you feel like it's unsafe or you think it might be dangerous. So if you don't think it's a good idea to walk down a dark alley at nighttime
at 2 in the morning,
don't do that.
Because I understand, because when they used to have the mugshots, remember that?
Mugshots.
And I'd have the sheriff or the chief on, and I'd go, I don't ever see these people. Where are they? He says, are you out after 1 o'clock in the morning? And I go, no. He says, that's when they come out. So, interesting. All right.
I was at the library Wednesday night.
Yes.
My friend Thomas was with me.
Yeah.
Thomas is a big boy.
Yes, he is.
And we're standing around, and I brought that up. And I, after seeing the people coming to the library, I would encourage people to go stand in front of the library about, 5 to 6, and watch the unsheltered. See, I'm being politically correct.
You have woken up. There you go.
The unsheltered come and go. And I looked at Thomas and I said, would you feel safe walking around this building right now? And he says, well, I would. But he didn't say, I'm ready to go. And I wouldn't, not if I'm not carrying. And now they've taken away my right to carry.
Well, you know, it's funny you mention that on both levels is I went to school in San Francisco State, and I'm not woke. Somehow it didn't infect me. But there was areas in San Francisco that when I would drive, we'd be going downtown to drink or whatever, and I didn't drink back then, so I was always the DD. And you'd make a wrong turn, and you knew you were in the wrong neighborhood. Oakland, I made more than enough wrong turns there that I'm amazed I'm still talking to you. So there was areas there in those cities back 30 years ago that were bad. What's funny is I moved to Reading after living in Europe in Holland for 5 years playing baseball. And I became an agent, and it was funny you mentioned that, because when I first came here in 1998 and I started to get into the business and know the locals, they were talking about the hood. Don't go to the hood. The hood's dangerous. You don't want to go to the hood. And I go, where's this hood? I mean, I'd driven in a lot of neighborhoods just trying to learn the city. And they also, that place, it's Parkview. It's right behind the city hall or whatever was there at the time. And I go, really? You guys consider that dangerous? I would walk through there in a G-string with dollars hanging out of my thing compared to some neighborhoods I found myself in Oakland and San Francisco by accident, for the record. I wasn't looking for a problem. So it was funny as back then that same neighborhood area was considered the hood, and then they spent millions of dollars. Millions of dollars to clean it up, buying houses, demolishing them.
Well, sure, they built the city center across the street.
The fact there was an ulterior motive, that's beside the point. But now, in my opinion, it is now officially worse than it was 25 years ago.
And then you've got those streets up off of Lake Boulevard just before you drop down across the railroad tracks, those apartments too.
Oh, is it Buckeye area, I think is what they call that?
It's pretty rough up there. Just this side, the north side of Enterprise High School, the first street. You don't want to go down that street.
No.
I mean, you can go down it. You're probably safe, but you don't want to walk down it at night.
No. And what's funny is my wife and I had our CCWs. We just went and renewed the course. We're not sure we're re-signing up because the way the law now reads is pretty much you're going to be a felon if you are a CCW carrier, because there's so many restrictions that if you should be found with a gun in a certain spot, you could be charged with a felony. But anyways, the reason we got it, I mean, I got it just because I was a macho guy and that's what I thought would be cool, but that's another story. But my wife demanded to get one because she stopped going to Winco because the people roaming the parking lots were getting so aggressive to her, the panhandlers walking up to her. And so she ended up getting a CCW just because of those people. So Reading is not the same as it used to be. So when
you're
say...
You're talking West Safeway.
Yeah. No,
Safeway and Pine Street.
No, I'm talking about Winco up
No, at, but it's worse.
It's worse than at Safeway.
Yes.
No, actually, they call it what is Unsafeway. And so, no, it's funny you mentioned that. And that clip is, you know... There are streets now that me, having been here for 25 years, I agree with you. There's places that I would hesitate to go into at night. And maybe even sometimes during the day, because there's some strange creatures walking out there.
And don't tell Carl I said this, but he put himself in the same category as his two big burly cops.
Well, I know, but you know, I gotta be honest with you. I think Carl's probably got a point of view. He's seen things that I've never want to see, so I imagine if he had face to face with somebody, he'd probably be a formidable butt kicker, in my opinion.
Yeah, he's what, 87 now?
96.
96. He might not think that's funny.
Well, that's all right. He can fire me. That's okay. I'm okay. Well, you know, Nick, we're going to be on the break here in a minute, and I just want to let you know, Cambridge University came out, because if you're paying attention, folks, the WHO, the World Health Organization, and our very own health department and stuff are getting up, they're ramping up things again. That there's all over the news about COVID, and hospitals around America are starting to require the masking mandate to come on. And there has been empirical, beyond a shadow of a doubt, there's no argument, you can't even put shade on it about masking. And then here's one that I got the other day from Cambridge University, that it's worse than we thought on masking. In other words, people who wear masks are more likely to get sick because they're breathing in carbon dioxide and everything all day long. So, folks, I'm just telling you, masking is not about your health. It is about control. They want to tell you how you're going to look in public. It has nothing to do with protecting grandma or the lady with cancer. It has nothing. They don't stop viruses and those kind of things. They're too small for that kind of stuff. And the evidence is overwhelming. And I bring it up only because you're starting to hear rumblings of masking coming back at different locations. So just be prepared. If they say the COVID is surging, that might come here locally. And I'm just telling you.
I had a friend of mine call me last night. She's been sick for a week, coughing up phlegm, really bad, felt horrible. She talked to a doctor, and he said it's all over town right now. And she said she saw some show, don't get a flu shot, you won't believe what, or the adjuvants that are in a flu shot.
Mm-hmm.
And, gosh, it just makes me wonder what they're doing to us. I had a very interesting conversation with Judy. Oh, I wanted to bring to the attention, too. I went to the light show. Now, puke, puke, puke. I never want to do anything that Turtle Bay's involved in because I'm just not a fan of the guy, Mike Warren, that started Turtle Bay.
Yeah.
And some of the shenanigans that went on with Turtle Bay and the McConnell Foundation.
Correct.
But I was given a couple of tickets to go to it. I understood they cost $40 a ticket. I'm not sure if that's true or not. But it was fantastic.
Really?
Oh, gosh, it was nice. I couldn't believe how nice it was.
Okay.
And we got a cup of hot chocolate, and it was pick of the litter. It wasn't just some carnation stirred up with hot water. I mean, it was a class act.
Well, good.
Next year, go to that if you get the
Is it now, is it still running, or is it...
I believe it's over, or tonight's the last night. I couldn't tell you for sure. But
today's the last night.
Tonight's... Ooh.
Okay, maybe I can get my wife down there. Who knows?
Well, it'd be well worth it.
Wow. We love a jingle tucky, though, so that's interesting. Getting down the hill, you know.
You've got to pick between driving around and looking at the locals. They put on their show every day of the year.
And some of them wear lights.
Well, when we get back, I'm going to talk to you about my conversation with Judy Salter. We had a very good conversation. She's a good arguer. She doesn't get mad and yell. She argues back in a level voice. I love arguing with her, and she's intelligent and a nice person. I just don't agree with some of her points of view.
Fair enough. Then let's take a break, and we'll come back and listen to that.
Okay.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Shout out to Reading Rancheria. Appreciate you guys for all your help. With the help that you guys gave us, we were able to stick around. maintain some of our employees and make sure all the customers got what they needed. Thank you, guys.
Hi there. Us here at the Post Office Duluth would like to thank the Reading Rancheria for supporting us and our community through the COVID pandemic.
Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
If you are 50 years or older, come down to Wind River Resort and Casino for our Senior Day promotion every Wednesday. Check in at the River Club with your River Club card and play your favorite slot machine to receive 5x points from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. While you're in points, you can put your points back on your slot machine for more playtime. Or redeem your points for dining vouchers, gas vouchers, or a variety of other prizes. For more information, visit WindRiver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
We'd like to thank the Reading Rancheria for all their community support, including the bike shop. They do so much for our community, and we're beyond grateful.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rancheria. You are the ones we can always count on to help us out in tough times. They're the people that have always been there for us, much more so than anyone else in our community. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
Reading Rancheria. Proud to play our part.
Nick Gardner, Doug Jenke, proud to poke the hornet's nest.
We poke people every 2 weeks, Nick, you and I.
And it's so much fun.
It is. But you were mentioning poking somebody, and I will put in before you go down that avenue. You and I were at the library a couple of weeks ago, and we got some fingers, and they weren't the four, they were the middle. We got some FUs, but we did have two people. One was a gentleman who talked to us for probably about, I don't know, 7-8 minutes and was very reasonable, and we talked to him. But Miss Alter, that you're about to talk about, she came out a couple times and talked to us and was indeed very pleasant. There was some back and forth. There was no raised voices. There was no screaming. So that was a couple of weeks ago. So I would have to agree that that was a good exchange with Miss Alter. So how did the one go the other day, sir?
Well, it went just fine. I argued with her, and she argued with me. She started off at, you know, why can't we find some common ground? Well, like what? Well, how about homelessness? Why can't we find some common ground on homelessness? Why can't we find some common ground with mental health? And the whole conversation's, the gist of it is, why are you recalling Kevin Cry? Well, you know, I said, the homeless problem's been going on for 15 years. Why wasn't it addressed before now? The mental health problem has been going on, you know. You've got Mary Rickert, you had Joe Comente, you had Leonard Modi, you had
Kehoe.
Yeah, you had Les Ball. Why weren't these problems addressed with then? Well, okay, so we go on, and she mentions the severance packages for Dr. Moo and the new attorney and CEO Rickert. And, you know, I understand we have those, so they are giving up a lifestyle, an income to be our public servant, and if it keeps the way it is, and we get a 3-2 majority of left-leaning liberals, and they fire them just out of spite, there they are. They don't have an income and they're broke. So I understand that. But I got to thinking, and I asked her, I says, well, what about Pat Minturn? Why wasn't anything said about Pat Minturn? You know, Pat Minturn, he came up and he was the attorney after Rubin quit. And his salary in 2020 was $176,000. In 2021, it was $191,000. And in 2022, it was $244,000. That's a $50,000 jump in just 1 year. Why wasn't that mentioned? Oh, well, you know, I still can't figure that out. That was her reply.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got to think, and I says, well, what about Eric McGreaney? You know, he got a $40,000 bump. It was either 32 or 40, and they created a job for him.
Created.
Why wasn't there any conflict about that? Why did you go along with that? And Kathy Darling-Allen, she got a big raise for nothing.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, it's a big deal. With this severance, it's a one-time payout. With the raises these people got,
it's for the rest of their life.
That's right.
Well, and that thing that's funny with liberals is they just can't see the forest through the trees. And that is the salary structure that we are now stuck with, both city and on the county, was voted on and implemented. These big raises that we gave to management has been done over the last 15-plus years when the lean was going very left. So I can assure you, for as much as they're bitching about these severance packages, if they should get the 3-2 majority, the cost to the county is going to go up for everything. Everything. A severance package will be a small price.
And all of this started when we became a suburban county. I'd like to know who pushed that through. I would wager it was, Hawes or Modi.
Yeah.
And that gave them the opportunity to pay management so much more.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you know how they financed it. They just didn't fill the vacancies, and all of a sudden it's all Kevin's fault because we have 300 vacancies that have been there for 10 years.
Well, and that's the thing is when they had their recall tables out there, I ran into one at the Turtle Bay, and there was an elderly lady and a man there, and they didn't know who I was, so it helped. Incognito, kind of like James O'Keefe, and I just went up to him and I said, "So, hey, what's this all about?" "Oh, well, you know, Kevin Cry and this and that, and he's going to cost us millions of dollars," and they spouted off everything they said was an abject lie. There wasn't even a shred of truth. There wasn't even a cockroach looking under a light shred of truth. So I said, "Really?" I go, "Well, that's funny. Kathy Darlin Allen or whatever, the one with multiple first names." I said, "She herself said that it could possibly be $1.6 million. You just said it's going to be $4 million." And they start choking on their tongue. Well, then there was this, and then there was that. And I said, and then also, do you guys know who George Soros is? And the lady's, "Oh, he's that evil man." I said, "Then why is your person, Kathy Darlin Allen, or whatever her name is, crying out loud, why did she go to a George Soros-funded, sponsored event to be a guest speaker?" Again, crickets. As soon as you turn the lights on liberals, they scurry or they freeze because they don't base anything on fact. It's just on how they feel about it. So when Salter starts talking about, "Well, you know, Kevin," the reality is the raises that were given predated Kevin. These budget that we're now in predates Kevin, and the empty positions that we are dealing with predate Kevin. But they sure are blaming him for everything.
Oh, yeah. And then in a news cafe, they say that this board has hired and fired five CEOs.
Legal counsel, I think, is what they were trying to say. Five legal counsel.
No, it's
a CEO. Oh, CEOs? Okay.
Yes, now you threw me off.
That's not hard. Sleepy Joe's in the house. So we had five.
That's not funny.
I think it's hilarious. People are laughing in their cars right now.
Okay, I'm going to look it
so
up.
So go back
I'm
to CEO.
Prove you wrong. Oh,
I think it was five councils is what they were complaining about. That's why when they were bringing this guy in that was a friend of. Well, now they're saying that the new county council is a friend of Kevin Cry. Again, somehow, a friend of Kevin Cry's because apparently he dates somebody who works for Kevin.
Hey, and, you're right. It is a council. We had Ruben Cruz. Oh, everybody gets lucky once in a while. Don't pay yourself.
Today's a
on
good
the
day. I was called right on the radio. This is amazing.
We had Ruben Cruz, and he retired.
Yes.
So they get blamed for him leaving.
Yep.
Then they put in James Ross.
Yep.
He didn't like the job, and he quit after 3 months. Okay. I got that from a mutual friend.
Yeah, and you get good sources, I will tell you.
And he retired because he hated the job.
Okay.
Then we had McCumber or something like that. He was temporary.
Yeah.
As with Stir that is there right now was temporary.
Yeah, because they're trying to find a candidate that wants it full time.
And they're counting those as hired and fired.
Yep.
You know, so as far as I'm concerned, this council has overseen one person quit.
Well, and, you know, and again, words matter. And the one thing that the liberal side has completely taken away is wordsmithing. And they turn everything against you. I mean, they are the master of the lie. They throw poo at the fan, and then instead of you focusing on what the truth is, you now are trying to stop the lie. So they, you know, they can't very well come out and say, "Hey, look, two people, one guy retired, one guy didn't like it. We've had two interims as we try to find a replacement." And now they're trying to implicate that because Kevin Cry may or may not, and if he did know and he didn't disclose it, that's a mistake by Kevin, okay? But maybe the guy's really good, the guy coming in from Yuba City. Maybe he's really good, and Kevin does know him and said, hey, look, we need a good person here. What's wrong with that?
We're going to do our last clip right now, and this is going to show you how Mary Rickard just combats everything that these three want to do, Kevin especially, just out of spite. She's not a team player. Can we play that clip now?
We have a motion and a second under further discussion. Supervisor Rickard.
Yeah, I have several things. First of all, I'm going to take umbrage at your comment about $90 an hour. That's when you have a government attorney, they don't have any other expenses. When you're in private practice, you have a building, you have a paralegal, you have a receptionist, you have office supplies. It's a huge amount of cost. Anybody that's been in business truly understands that. You have to pay for that infrastructure and the extra employees it takes to run that office. This is $90 an hour for just this person's compensation, not including all these benefits. And I wanted to know, did any of you do your due diligence and call the references? And did you get any feedback? Certainly you did. I did.
I have great faith in support services and Monica Fugit and her staff.
Well,
if you don't, you could bring it up to her. I mean, she did the background check.
This has nothing to do with Monica. I have a responsibility to the citizens of Shasta County to call the references, and I did. And I didn't exactly get a resounding positive feedback. So I am quite concerned about this election, and it's nothing personal, but I'm quite concerned. He's only served for 3 months as a county council in another county. And that's not a long term.
You're misleading the public.
Misleading the public. Okay.
He's been in that seat a long time as a transition plan, officially 3 months. Let me correct.
Did you just say he was in that position officially for three months?
The transition plan has been going, I believe.
But he's been a deputy county council. That's two positions.
18
That's two separate positions.
I'm just going by what we all heard. I'm just saying 18 months of that transition plan.
Supervisor Garmin.
So there you go. There's how she sharp pencils it.
Again,
he's been there 18 months, and they finally give him the job. He's proven himself a worthy candidate. But, you know, she's complaining about what he's getting and the overhead he doesn't have to pay. I first heard that from Mike DeQuisto. She's stealing that from him when it came to Barry DeWalt. But she never complained in the last 7 years about any of that.
Well, and you know what's funny is she's lecturing Kevin, who has multiple businesses, and Patrick Jones, who has a business with employees and overhead and regulations. So, you know, I think it's kind of disingenuous that she's sitting there trying to tell them, well, you know, in private sector, let me tell you, those two gentlemen, they know what the private sector is, and it's hell in California. That's why we're losing so much. So when she says he's $90 an hour, yeah, they're still the same cost. They're still all paralegals, but they're called county employees.
Who was that lawyer, Joe something, that we had on?
Joe.
Wrote the book.
Oh, Joe Tully.
$500 an hour.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and it's funny. So that was an example of Mary Rickards twisting something, lying bold-faced in her statement, and it becomes now public record, and it's a spin when the reality is, as Kevin asked, and she didn't dispute it, the guy had been there for 18 months and was in a transition period and had been appointed finally 3 months ago.
I'll tell you something else.
And the question becomes, if you're trying to get a job for 18 months and they don't give it to you, and then they say, oh, after 18 months, you can have it, Nick, and a better opportunity comes, I'm going to tell you, if they held me off for 18 months, I have no loyalty to them. I mean, if I'm good for
the
job.
That's a good point. And if somebody calls up, you're not going to say something nice to them.
Well, no.
He left us.
Well, and if you had people do chat references on Modi, Kehoe, all these people, I guarantee you, you're not going to have glowing references. I'm a pretty damn good agent, to be honest with you. I've sold over 1,000 homes, all right? Most of my clients love me, and that's my database. But I guarantee if you made enough calls, you would find somebody who goes, well, Doug dropped the ball, or Doug didn't do this, or Doug didn't do that. There's always somebody who's not going to like you.
Mary Rickard might be good at twisting words, but she can't hold a candle to Jeff Godert or Donnie Chamberlain.
She wouldn't
hold a candle to them. But let me tell you what she did do. The recall people had an online auction to raise money. Mary donated a quarter of a beef to it.
Oh.
Well, I think that's kind of slimy for a supervisor, a sitting supervisor, to donate to a recall of a sitting supervisor. And then she waltzed into the recall meeting this last time, carrying some of her signs. She was in there. You know what they were doing? They were filling out postcards.
Well, you know, I mean,
I just think that's slimy as hell. If I was on a board and trying to recall somebody, I'd keep my mouth shut and stay in the background. That's just dirty pool.
Well, I mean, come on, Nick. Let's just call a spade a spade. I think Garmin and her, I quote unquote, identify as Republican, and if that's the case, the Republican Party should really just kick him out. I mean, Garmin shows up on the dais with a recall Kevin Christ shirt, which he knew was patently against the rules. The rules don't apply to them, Nick. They don't have to be honest, ethical, or do things that are right. They do what they want.
Especially when they have all three papers backing them up.
Yeah, and the TV stations. And
KQMS and KCRN.
Yeah.
You know, all these liberal stations, and all Kevin's got is KCNR that I can see. But I understand things are coming up, so there's going to be a very interesting meeting Tuesday at 9 o'clock. I would encourage everybody to go to that. Kevin's first time as chair.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, one thing I'm liking is he has moved up the report from the supervisors. It was the very last thing in the meetings where they said what they did last week or the last 2 weeks. Well, I went here or I went there or I talked to this or I talked to that. But I've got a letter that came out in the Record Searchlight this morning, you know, and they don't print any conservative letters. It's always left-leaning letters.
Yes.
And this comes from Jeff Gordert. As a lawyer with almost 30 years' experience in Shasta County, well, you know, all he did was recycle taxes for 30 years. And you know what? He was a prosecuting attorney, and then he was the head of the public defenders, and crimes only got worse in Redding. Good job.
Yep. Kudos.
As a former Shasta County department head, I was shocked to read about the severance packages recently awarded to county executives hired in 2023. You weren't too shocked about McGraney or Pat Minturn, but you're shocked about this one, huh, Jeff? On December 19th, Supervisor Crypatrick Jones and Chris Kellstrom voted to double the severance package awarded to County Public Health Officer James Moo, with the same 3-2 incoming County Counsel Joseph Lamore was given a severance package valued at $380,000. I'll bet if you analyze that, it might not be that much. When these severance packages are added to the package recently given to CEO David Rickert, the total value is over $1.1 million. While the severance packages themselves are unprecedented, the manner in which they were awarded is extraordinary. Well, the matter in which these people have gotten inflated pensions is extraordinary.
The spike.
Yeah, take a look at Bazinko. Take a look at McGraney. Take a look at Kathy Darling Allen.
Go to
at Moner. Charlie, what's his face? Manure.
Well, I can say, is it Transparent California that has all the CalPERS people?
Yes.
We've got public employees, much like Mr. Goder and others, who've retired with these pensions that they're now bitching about a severance package, that are making $1 million a year in pension. They didn't even make $1 million a year as they were working. Isn't that crazy? That's nuts. So continue.
They're not making $1 million a year.
There's a lot of fire chiefs around the state. If you pull it up, it says...
Oh, okay. I was talking local here.
Oh, no. I'm saying the
You know,
fire
Leonard
chiefs.
Modi's making $194,000 a year.
In retirement.
That was a couple years ago. I checked that. It's probably gone.
No, if you go to Transparent California,
Warren was making $20,000 a month.
Yep.
That's $240,000.
There was a time when Mike Warren was almost paid more than the President of the United States in his total compensation package of $400,000 a year.
Well, comparing him to Joe Biden, I'd say he's probably worth it.
He's probably close.
Okay, County Health Officer Moo, hired just 2 months ago and working part-time, saw his severance package doubled. Well, so what?
If he does a great job and doesn't lock us down and put us in masks, I'm for Mr. Moo.
Jones was not shy about explaining the reason behind these actions. They wanted to create a disincentive for future boards to consider terminating these employees without cause or for political reasons, just as the prior board has done, Jones included, to former officer Karen Ranstrom. Well, you know, she was fired because of the job she did, and they didn't like it.
And she was horrible. Let's just be blunt. She locked down your kids, ruined your business, locked us down. She believed all of the lies that Fauci put out there. She should have been fired earlier.
I wonder how much we're paying her retirement.
Oh, I guarantee it's a lot.
Her and her husband or wife.
Well, you know, the funny thing is, in the private sector, you get fired and let go. You're done. You're on your own. In public world, you get your pension, you get your retirement, you get everything. So continue reading, Mr.
In other words, Cry, Jones, and Kellstrom want to lock their handpicked people so no future board can make changes without severe financial consequences to the county. Well, you know, that's a good thing because to get rid of them, they would have to do something bad.
Yeah.
It's not going to be Mary Rickert and Tim Garman and some other liberal get up there and say, we're going to fix Jones and Cry and Kellstrom now.
Mm-hmm.
Take this, fellas. Bull, you're fooling around with our money. The strategy behind the board's hiring practices should concern all county residents. Keep in mind that Cry's initial choice for CEO was Chris Street, second in charge of New California, an organization dedicated to splitting Shasta and other rural counties from California and creating a 51st state. That sounds like a damn good
idea.
Chris Street was on our show.
Yep.
And I've been thinking about calling and seeing if he wants to come on. And again, I know he's probably got some very good, insightful things he could tell us about.
Yep.
Cry recruited and promoted Street, who failed the background check and had employment offer rescinded. And turns out that was a bunch of malarkey.
Yep. Yep. He was accused of something that didn't actually happen. That's weird.
As a lawyer with almost 30 years' experience in Shasta County, I have more than a passing knowledge of the qualifications that one would expect of a candidate about to assume the role of county counsel, and I find Lamour significant lacking in that regard. Bear in mind that Cry has taken credit for recruiting Lamour just as he did with Street. Thank you.
Yes.
Kevin, for finding us the best officer that you could possibly find.
And Jeff, thank you for pointing that out, that Kevin did a great job actually recruiting somebody he thinks is going to be good. And then here's the funny thing, Jeff, little newsflash. It's going to take the entire board, five people, to make a decision. So if your liberal people, Rickerts and Garman, really don't like them, then sway Jonesy and sway Kellstrom.
Either one of them. You only need one of them.
You only need one.
Yes.
So if that's the case, continue on, Nick.
Cry stated that the hiring of Lamour is a steal from the county because we are acquiring a remarkable talent for a salary that no other lawyer, not even a recent law school graduate, would accept.
Huh.
Well, yeah, he is kind of working cheap when you compare him to Joe. What was his last name?
Joe Tully.
Yeah, look at some of these other how about Barr and Mumford? Do you think they'd work that cheap?
Yeah, they wouldn't even pick the phone up if you're not willing to write a check for $2,000 or $3,000 on retainer. Just FYI.
Yes, I'll tell you what. I think that.
Hey, you know, Nick, I do want to go because we're running out of time here a bit. There is hope to kill liberalism and wokeism in the world. There's actually some real hope that I want the listeners to go to. If you haven't been made aware, not to take away from your reading of the letter, but Jeff has proven he's not.
That was the end of
that's,
it. Anyway.
Oh, good. Folks, pay attention to what's going on in Argentina. Pay attention heavily. Wokeism has gone there to die. 70 years of liberal crap communist policies, creating woke level stupidity. In December, they brought in Milei. God, what's his first name? Javier Milei. The dude is on the. He's not a per se hard conservative. He's not a hard liberal. He's not a libertarian. He's just a common sense guy, an economist. And what is going on there is he is dismantling the government bureaucracy. He's telling the Argentinians, he's been telling them, it's going to be hard. We have no money. We are broke. You're going to have to make sacrifices. And they overwhelmingly voted him in. And now one of the greatest experiments in political history of killing liberalism is underway. The question is, if he gets too far, are they going to take him out? And I'm wondering
if we can send Cry down there to poach him.
Yeah, I'm telling you what. So I just wanted to kind of bring some news to people that, you know, the greatest threat to liberalism is happening in Argentina. And I wish the gentleman well. I hope liberalism takes a death knell there and it spreads like cancer through the world. Because if we don't stop what's going on, this stuff, the Rickert stuff, the lies – we don't have a bright future in this country.
I'd like to say that any group or anybody that wants me to explain to them how Kevin Cry has saved us over $500,000 a year going forward, I would be happy to come and make a presentation or talk to you. You can get a hold of me through here. Now, here's something. You know, they're making a big deal about the Dominion machines. In fact, all those people that I talked to going into the recall meeting, they said that this is all about the Dominion machines, that they're honest. I said, you probably like Joe Biden, too. Oh, yes, Joe's doing a wonderful job. Can you believe that? I didn't find one of them that disagreed that Joe is doing a poor job. When it's all Trump's fault.
Well, and you know the funny thing is, Nick, I got to say the level of ignorance is amazing, because when they talk about the fact that President Joe Biden, and unfortunately I have to put that word before his name and it just burns in my mouth, has an approval rating of 39%, the lowest recorded. I'm asking myself, who are the 39% people that think he's doing a good job?
Well, there's one word you should put in front of president that I put in front of Mayor Tanessa Audette.
What is it?
Illegitimate.
Well,
illegitimate President Joe Biden. Illegitimate Mayor Tanessa Audette.
Yeah.
Now, here's something that goes on about the voter fraud. More than 20% of voters used mail-in ballots in 2020. 21 of likely U.S. voters who voted absentee or by mail say they filled out a ballot in part or in full on behalf of a friend or a family member. 19% of those who cast mail-in ballots filled out their ballot in part, in full, on their behalf. Furthermore, 17% of mail-in voters say the 2020 election, they cast a ballot in a state where they were no longer a permanent resident. All these practices are illegal. Pew Research in 2012, approximately 24 million one of every eight voter registrations in the United States are no longer valid and significantly inaccurate. More than 1.8 million deceased individuals are listed as voters. Approximately 2.75 million people have registered in more than one state. Why don't they want to clean this up?
Well, because of the left.
Either side should want to clean this up.
Well, either side, you know, should want an honest and fair election. I mean, it's funny you bring it up, and I happened to find an article earlier this week about, or I guess maybe a little bit longer than a week, that in Louisiana, a judge found that there was enough illegal bad votes that he had to overturn the election down there. And it's funny is all of this illegal activity only goes one direction. You have yet to hear of a conservative who won a race by vote stealing, election meddling. It's never a conservative. It's always a liberal candidate. And that just makes you wonder, doesn't
Listen
it?
Listen to this.
Please.
The election thieves got caught. Prior to the 2020 election, up in Muskogon, Miami, I think it's Minnesota, a Biden-linked company was running an industrial-scale registration drive and harvest operation. A county employee noticed one black female dropping off between 8 and 10,000 completed voter registration applications in the city clerk's office in one day. Upon closer inspection, the applications had all been filled out in the same handwriting. This goes on and on and
on. It's all over the place.
My estimate is over 800,000 ballot applications were sent to non-qualified voters in Michigan.
800,000, one state.
2020.
Yes. Well, I mean,
illegitimate president Joe Biden.
Yeah. If you just watch 2,000 Mules and you go in there with a fair and open mind, even liberals, which I know is very hard, Dinesh really lays it out with facts, with video, with everything to show that there was some real bad actors in the 2020 election. And then now there's more stuff coming out. There's people going to jail. Judges are starting to hear some of the cases, and in a lot of cases they are now starting to overturn these elections. The illegitimate part is very true.
What took them so long? It's like our forest fires. Why aren't they out thinning the forest right now? Hey, wait till fire season to start complaining about all the fire fuel.
Yeah.
You know, this should have been settled 2 years ago.
Yes. Yep. Should have been. It should have been settled years ago. All you got to do, Kathy, listen. Go through the rolls. Find the people who don't live here, who are dead, who there. If there's more than one voter in an address, find out if there's really more than one voter in an address. It's not that hard to clean our rolls. People come and go.
The election committee is meeting tomorrow at noon.
just go through the roles and give us honest numbers, honest people, and then be 100% transparent. None of this secret crap. And if we lose, we'll be the first to sit there and say, we got our butts kicked. That's just how it is.
Well, that's right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yep. But when everything is hidden, lied about, you have no choice but to make the next step assumption. How big is it? How far did it go?
So I guess we're winding down. We've got 20 seconds left.
20 seconds. Well, Nick, it's going to be sunny and a little cool today, and I think tomorrow's even a little bit, and then it's going to get chilly and wet for the rest of the week, if I remember correctly. So.
Well, we'll find out. It was sure beautiful driving over here, seeing snow, probably down to Whiskeytown Lake.
And I will tell you, folks, this is a true tech tip. Check.